Okay, we're about to begin a new sugya. It's not new in the sense that we're not going to talk about Eish anymore. We're still rolling into the Av of Eish, but it is new because we're going to focus on a totally different dimension of Eish. We're really almost going to look at Eish through the eyes of Reish Lakish. We spent a lot of time at the world of Eish through the eyes of Rabbi Yochanan. We have to give, I don't know, equal time, but we'll see as the sugya develops that this is not just theoretical discussion within an opinion that we don't possibly like, but some very, very real ramifications of understanding Eish within the world of Reish Lakish that may very, very much spill over to us, may become critical for us in terms of getting a greater picture of Eish. So up till now, we almost have a very, very limited angle of Eish. We spent a lot of time on half the story of Eish, but we have to fill the picture of Eish and get a really, really good understanding what Eish and Pitzah Shem Avona are and how the two actually relate to one another. So, strangely enough, the entire sugya revolves around the word that exists in the Gemara altogether. Where if it exists, it may be also a kind of tangential statement in the Gemara. That's the word of Mamoncha. The Gemara constantly, Mamoncha, any and every time that the Gemara discusses the characteristics of the Avos, there are different characteristics of each of the Avos, but at the end of the day, everything seems to boil down to the same Pizman. You could say it 20 times fast, Mamoncha b'shmiras alecha. When all the dust settles, so this is Mamoncha b'shmiras alecha, dust is Mamoncha, everything is Mamoncha b'shmiras alecha. So, when the Gemara discusses both Bor and Eish, the Gemara also throws in that same pizman, that same phrase, "Umamoncha shmiras alecha." Unless the Gemara didn't use that phrase, unless maybe the Girsa some Rishonim maybe didn't even have that word "umamoncha." But we have it in our text. Taisa had the words "umamoncha," and Taisa has a small comment on the Gemara base, "Umamoncha." So first of all, Taisa addressed it like Gabi Bor, "Lav dafka Gabi Bor." The Lama Moinu. So Taisa says, don't take the word "umamoncha" so seriously that you're only chayiv on Bor if it belongs to you, because we all know that you can equally be chayef a boy even if it's not your mamon. Now, this is again, obviously, a throwback to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel and B'shus HaShalada, Bo B'shus Ram, Bo B'shus El. But there definitely exist scenarios where you're chayef a boy even though the boy is not yours. And therefore, Taisa says, don't get too bogged down with the word mamon. You know, don't think it means it as little as it sounds. And then Taisa continues. And the king of Eish, and suddenly, if you have that girus, my age, which is mamono, Taisa says, don't get so tits, that has to be mamono. Taisa says, obviously, it's not true. Mamono is not so important by age. Tipshita, imhidli kadisha shachaveh be'eshol ached dechayev. Taisa says, if you're going to really be such a stick to the details and insist that age is only chayev when it belongs to you, you're going to be led to the absurd conclusion that if I go ahead and I take somebody else's coal and I light some of a third party's house down, I'm going to be potter. And Taisa says that is the most ridiculous thing we ever heard. That is just absurd, crazy, off the charts of any degree of reality. Nobody would ever say such a thing, that if I take Reuven's coal and burn down Shimon's house, I'm going to be potter, because it's not mamoni. So that which Taisa throws out here as a statement of almost absurdity, and because of that, they were stuck with the word mamono, and they had to touch it up and say, in effect, lav dafka. So, not as simple as Taisus presents, not as clear cut as Taisus presents here in Dav Gimel, this sugya actually reappears in its primary place in Dav Chavez within the world of Reish Lakish. Because on Dav Chavez Amid Aleph, the Gemara does quote on Reish Lakish that Isha is Mishum Mamono. And that phrase, Isha Mishum Mamono, seems to be very, very deliberate, very, very exact, very, very meduyak, such an extent that which Tosfos almost over here, almost like just shrugs off as not even being within the world of reality, Rashi almost says it. Rashi kind of says it on Daf Chavez when the Gemara first introduces Machlekes Rabbeinu and Reish Lakish. So Rashi has an interesting comment. Rashi says, Mishum Mamono. Rashi gives you the Mishalim, Kishayra Uborish Eziku. Because Salka Daitach, the Gemara at this point thinks, the Ike Benayu, Yonchi Hidlik Begachela Shem Shaloi. This is the litmus test case. This is the distinction. This is the Nafkamin Ladina between Rabbi Yechem and Shlokish. Before Rashi came along, so Rabbi Yechem and Shlokish were having a philosophical debate. They were arguing about in the world, and the Olam HaSel Yoinim, is this considered to be Isha Mishum Chitza, Isha Mishum Amoino? At the end of the day, nobody really cares. At the end of the day, it's all the same. Yechayev anyway, Kiseitzi Eish, Shalom Yishalem, who cares? The Rashi is plug in. We don't want this to be philosophy. It's not Bittul Torah. We want it to be Lamaisa. So Rashi says, the Chapsa Nefkevina is, if you're madlik using somebody else's flame, somebody else's coals. So Rabbi Yechelim Chayev, Kont Rabbi Yechelim Chayev, let's say, if I take your gun and I shoot somebody, of course I'm chayef. I take your bow and arrow and I shoot them, of course I'm chayef. the chiv is not mitam the gun, not mitam the chefts of the bow and arrow. The chiv is mitam the gavra. So what's the difference? Whose gun I use? But ul reish lakish potted lama menu. But according to reish lakish, Rashi says the din would be if I light Reuven's house with Shimon's coal, inochad I'm going to be potted. Shimon's also going to be potted. Shimon kept his coal under lock and key. I went and had a break into his backyard, and I go in and I take his coal and I use it to burn down the Levi's house. Of course, I'm going to be potter, says Rashi, because Yishim Shem Amayin, according to Reish Lakish. So that which Tosfos almost laughed away on Dav Gibel, Rashi says it. Now, we're not 100% sure textually just how seriously Rashi meant this. Now, I don't mean that Rashi was joking us on Dav Chabez. What I mean is we're not so sure how much Rashi meant this Lamaskana. Why do we have reason to believe that Rashi may not have meant this Lamaskana? Because he does introduce it with the Sefer Kosal Kedaitach. Now, Kosal Kedaitach is a tricky phrase. Kosal Kedaitach may conjure up the image of, this is like a wild Havamina, it's not going to pass the test of time, and when the dust settles and the daf from now, we're going to realize this is not the correct Nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and our grandchildren, Baal HaTosfos, are correct. So what is the real Nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Well, the real Nafkamina appears on daf Chav Gimel. What does the Gemara say the real nafkamin is? The Chayav Dal Devarim. You have to pay Nezek Tzarit B'Shevus and B'Shevus, or just Nezek alone. So it could be that licked in that word of those, that phrase, those words of Kosal Kedaitach, Rashi is throwing up almost this like test, you know, a test balloon, and then popping in and saying, it's not really true. In the end of the day, it doesn't really mean much, so don't take me too seriously. Or maybe Rashi meant to say Kosal Kedaitach that almost the Gemara didn't realize any other nafkaminas. It took the Gemara a while to realize some other nafkaminas, additional nafkaminas, but the Kosal Kedaitach, that this is perhaps the only, you know, nafkamina that meets the eye. When you just open up the words Chabezim and Aleph, and you see Rabbi Yochanan Kazach, it's Mishum Chitza, Vishlachi says, no, it's Mishum Amono. So your initial reaction is, this is the nafkamina. And that may be not just an additional reaction, that may be the true reaction as well. That may be the end of the day, the emes nafkamina also, in addition to perhaps some others here and there, such as the Chayav Dal Advar. So even within the words of Kosal Kedaitach, we're not quite sure what Rashi meant, but one thing for sure he meant, it's not as crazy as Tosfos. It's not as off the charts as Tosfos makes it. And Dav Gimel, Tosfos says this is ridiculous. No one can say such a thing. Rashi does say it at least at one stage. Whether he says it or Maskana, unclear, but at one stage, the Sugi does say. So Tosfos is sensitive to this at Dav Chavez. And Tosfos attacks Rashi on Dav Chav Beis and says, "How are you talking? It can't be. It's not shach to say such a thing. You cannot say such a thing. Why? Because then you're going to be bogged down with multiple kashas. So what are the multiple kashas that Tosfos asks? So some of them are, and some of them are just from Pashut Svara B'Alma. So what are some of the kashas from Mekayris? Tosfos brings you. They show their vast bekiyas of Maseches Bava Kama. They start throwing you different mekayris in Bava Kama that indicate that you can be chayav for Eish, even if it's not necessarily your actual ownership. You don't literally have bialis over the Eish. So one of them is a Gemara that we just spoke about the other day, Kofif Kamas Bifnei Adlake, all right? So what does the Gemara say? That there's this raging fire there, and I happen to have not to set the fire. There's a raging fire here, and I see you have some grain, and I start pushing your grain in the direction of the fire. Now, because I push it in that direction, therefore it's going to be close enough proximity for the wind to come. If, let's say, there's a fire 40 miles away, and I push your grain half an inch closer to that fire, but it's not going to get there anyway, so that's not, I didn't do anything. But if I make it close enough that now it will be subject to damage by that fire, so the Gemara says that's called Eish. Who remembers last week we said Tosfos would arrive from that Gemara to what about Eish? What interesting insight about Eish did Tosfos bring arrive from? That Eish doesn't make a difference whether you bring the fire to the object to the fire. So it doesn't matter. As long as you make that shidduch, it doesn't matter whether, you know, who's meeting who, it doesn't matter the boys going up, going downtown, the girls going uptown, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, as long as they meet at the right place and they get married, so we're happy, okay? But so we know for a fact that that's called Eish. That's not a shah, that's considered to be Eish. But Tosfos saw more in that Gemara. Tosfos was really excited about the Gemara. Whenever Tosfos saw that Gemara cover Kamoso, they got really, really excited. My youngest son was learning with one of the younger boys in the community. He was learning Perek HaKoneis. So they asked my youngest son from Zef to lower them a little bit in the afternoon. So he was trying to lower them at the beginning of Perek HaKoneis, giving a six Perek of Bavakama. So he got to that sugi of Kof of Kamasa with me. So he asked me, I was walking with him on Shabbos morning, so he asked me, Abba, can I ask you a question about the beginning of Perek HaKoneis? I said, yeah, sure. So he said, do you know that case? You ever hear that case of Kof? I said, yeah, never heard of that one. No, we're good. So he said, Abba, how'd you know that? I said, we just talked about it like 10 minutes before in Shir, the day before. So we're holding the Kof of Kamasa with me. Whatever it's called, I keep on getting lost. Made lekas chaver, because there's a case of behemus chaver and there's a case of made lekas chaver. Okay, fine. So I go ahead and I bring Reuven's wheat a little bit closer to Shimon's fire. So Gemara says if it's yachal lahazik bruch mitzuya mamish chayav chayav dini adam. The Gemara is trying to find cases where I'm chayav dini shemayim, but here you mamish chayav dini adam. So Taisa says this Gemara is a rival against Rashi. I don't own the fire. If Rashi is right, if Rish Lakish is right, then Isha Mishim Mamayna, why is the Tanaim talking about this? These are Tanaim, these are Brais, about Kofim Kamasa. So why in the world is the Tanaim talking about this being Chayiv? If you don't own the fire, so that's a clear-cut Raya against Rashi. That's Kasha number one, Tezis. Then Tezis goes on, they bring a Raya from the Mish to the end of the Perek HaKoneis, from the beginning to the end of the Perek. Most of Perek HaKoneis deals with Eish and Yonim, especially the second half of Perek HaKoneis. In the very end of Perek HaKoneis, so the Mishnah speaks about a getz ha-yotz b'tachas ha-patish. So guys, whenever I read this Mishnah, I always think of this image. You ever go to those, like, when they restore those villages, like, you know, Sturbridge Village, you ever go to those places, they have them in Massachusetts and Virginia, they try to have these colonial, you know, restoration villages. The ladies are walking around like the 1700s, and the guys are walking around with little knickers, you know. So they always show the blacksmith. So every time I see this Mishnah, that's the only image I have in my mind is the image of the blacksmith. Remember when we first got married, so we went up to New England for a couple of days. So we went to Sturbridge Village, one of these places, and I don't think I'd been there since like when I was in fourth grade. So we went to go visit one of these places. So I was very, very fascinated about two things there. I said that there was we talked about this in Masechah Shabbos, that there was a whole demonstration about how to dye wool. So you had these guys, like from the 1700s, make believe 1700s, showing you how to dye wool, everything. So I got very excited because the sugyas of tzeveya were coming to life. So I was really, really interested in the intricacies of the dyeing wool process. I don't think anybody's ever asked them any questions, so they really weren't ready for some of these shilas. That was number one. And then number two, they showed us there was an umbrella there from the 1700s. I got so excited because in Edvihud has a tshuva about opening umbrellas. Edvihud lived in the 1700s. He lived in Prague at the same time these guys were in Sturbridge Village. So they would find the same kind of umbrellas. So the Edvihud has a long, long tshuva about opening an umbrella on Shabbos, about why he thinks it's in a Sederais, it's Yes Oil. So there's no resemblance, living or dead, between the Nebuchadnezzar's umbrellas and our umbrellas. You had to mamash open it up, you had to tie it around, you had to undo the strings. There was a whole mahalach to open up the umbrella. So the Nebuchadnezzar held it was an Issa Boina Deraisa and others. So we had a lot of tumults. We spoke about this. So here, I mamash had like a replica of the Nebuchadnezzar's umbrella. I was so excited. So I asked them, can I see it? Can I open it? They didn't know what to do with me. They were So I remember at the same time, I was very focused on the tzeveya and on the umbrella. So my wife was talking to one of the ladies there. And the ladies there go, mamash like tzinuos, they go with their hair covered, you know, everything properly. So she asked one of the ladies, do they cover their hair inside also? That's what she wanted to know. Because she was asking, in effect, they followed the Magen Avram, with the Tosfos, the Zayir, the Chassam Sofer, you know, how much, whether Apidin, Midas Chassidus, how much you have to cover your hair when the men aren't around. So, because she was just newly married, so it was something that was topic, that was what she was thinking about. So each person gets excited about, I was excited about umbrellas, she was excited about shetels, everyone gets excited about different things. So getting back to that story, so I think of this guy, every time I see the same picture, that same blacksmith in the Sturbridge Village, is probably still there, banging and the sparks are flying. So the sparks are flying, lo and behold, gets yos v'tachas patish, and it shoots and it flies, and it burns down the guy's house. So that hopefully didn't happen then. So the girls burned down the guy's house. So the Mishnah says, it's chayav. So the guy who's banging on the potash is chayav to pay. What's he chayav to pay for? A spark that's flying. That sounds very much like a what? Spark flying, burning, fire, ash, combustion, right? That sounds like fire to me. Sounds like ash to me. So comes to us and says, wait a second, who owns that spark? Alam de Shaila. When I bang, Dinimam de Shaila. Who has the title? Who owns the registration on that spark? The spark is flying in the air. Who's the buyer of that spark? He says, the guy's mafkir the spark. Even though he wasn't literally, formally, Harei Zehefkir in front of a Beis Din, It's understood when you have things that are so insignificant to you, why do they consider to be hefker? Those are sugyas in the end of a kama. Let's say you have a guy who's weaving and a little string falls off the bottom of the loom or something. So another guy can go pick it up. And if you have such insignificant pieces of property that nobody could care less about, it's move on to Eilov that they consider to be hefker. So when I'm banging a blacksmith hammer and a spark's flying 20 feet away, imagine if somebody would come and grab that spark and run away with it. I would scream, Gazlan, you stole my spark. Stole my spark. It's a davashal hefker. So Tosfos says, Abba Zoi, it's a davashal hefker, so why am I chayev for? If Rashi's right, that Isha Mishamamayna means that you don't have to, that you have to own the moment, you have to have Dini Mamanis, you have to have rights and title in Dini Mamanis to the Davar Hamazik, to the Eish itself. So why Yichayev? That's Tosfos' second kasha. So those are Tosfos' two kashas, both from Perek HaKenis. So Tosfos also, learned with little kids in the afternoon Shabbos, so he also learned Perek HaKenis. So they knew that there's a sugi in the beginning of HaKenis, about Kofim Kamasai, there's a sugi at the end of HaKenis, about Getz Yazim Dachas Apatish. Both of these sugyas indicate that Rashi is not correct. That you could be chayev for Eish, Gomor, even though you do not own the Eish. Then Tosfos asks the third kasha. It's not a kasha from a raya, from a sugya. It's a kasha just from being a mimi, from being a bad boy. Tosfos says that if we're wrong and Rashi is right, so then we're creating a monster. What's the monster? I can wreak havoc with everybody's property. I can destroy everybody's property. Hell. What? Remember, it's very simple. What? I'll take my big flame. I really want to get back at this guy. This guy, I got a real good grudge against him. I really, really want to get back at him. I'm going to go burn, destroy his $10 million house. But right before I set fire to his house, what am I going to do? Call Chamir, call Eish, Mirshusi, Levatabo, Hefke, 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 Tawamdun. So before I burn down the guy's house, when Mafka Zayn, I'll bring a base in of three people, and Mafka Lachaladeus, and then I'll burn the guy's house down. He's Potter. Again, Tosfos is not entertained the possibility that's the way to get you the rights to Maftiyonu or to get a good seat in Gan Eden. But he's just saying to Lamaisa, you're going to tell me he's Potter? Tosfos says, that's ridiculous. How are you talking? How can the Torah set up such a system? It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. So Tosfos says the whole thing is wrong. Tosfos says the Rashi is not correct. The Kasaka Daitach is Nishkin, even Kasaka Daitach. It's Mamish, not true. When he said Ishim Shumamono, never meant to say it has to be your Mammon. It just meant that if and when you cause damage or daesh, we're mechayiv you ki'ilu, it's mamono. It's kishayro, uve kibayro. It's not really yours. It doesn't have to belong to you, it never did belong to you, and you're still going to die 100% for it. That's the Tosfos' rejection of Rashi. How would Rashi respond back to Tosfos? What would Rashi's answer be back to Tosfos? The kashas are so overwhelming. How would that? Rashi didn't realize that? Rashi didn't have them takoinis. Rashi didn't realize that the manuvel is going to go ahead and burn down people's houses, be mafka the flame. How are you talking? Ayes, gets sheyotes the mishnah. The other ones are brisa. All those that Rabbi Shlokesh would disagree with all of that. Shlokesh would say you could burn down people's houses. Towering inferno, you burn down everyone's buildings. As long as you mafka the, it's crazy. How can you say
such a thing? All of these questions were from Hefker. Rashi would say the difference whether it's
hefker
or whether it belongs to someone else.
Well, if it's not mine, it's not mine. What's the difference? It's not like by Rove Motze. So there's a suffix in the Rishalmi. If I have Chomishal Hefker in my Rishu, so is that my problem? So maybe you could argue it has to be Chomishal Achirim to be popular. This is not that. If you really believe that Rashi is right, that Isha Mishim Amayna means your mummin, so then what's the nafkamina, whether it's Yanim's mummin or it's nobody's mummin? So what's Rashi? What's the common denominator in all these three questions that Tosfos asked? Rashi wasn't Mesiyachis to Bechor. None of these cases have anything to do with Rabbi Yechon Mishlachish. Absolutely nothing.
Is it direct
to the land? Yeah. What was the Machlach to Rabbi Yechon Mishlachish? Answer your following question, okay? I go up to your, you have a car, all right? I told you a story about in finals. Way back about the car smashing. Okay, so we'll make it even fancy, all right? There's a car in the street. And instead of smashing the car, I come with a torch, all right? And I put the torch by the gas, all right? Hopefully, I run over quick, all right? And the whole thing goes up in flames. What's the mechayev? What kind of a mazik am I? That's Eish. What's that Eish? That's Eish HaMazik. What is that? It's a son of a mazik. What's the difference when I took a sledgehammer or I took a torch, but I put your car up in smoke? I said, that's an other mazik. Imagine a world for a minute without Parshas Eish. Imagine that the Torah never would have gotten to Parshas Mishpatim Kisei Tzeish. Parshas Mishpatim would have ended before Eish. So you're going to tell me that I wouldn't be chay? What in the world is the difference whether I smashed the window of your car with a baseball bat or whether I put it up in flames? It's the same thing. The Chiddush HaTorah of Eish is, what's the Tzir of Eish, they say? What is the Parash of Eish? Read the Pesukim. Which date in the Pesukim? Kisei Tzeish. What does that mean, Kisei Tzeish? What does it not say? Ki sadlik eish, ki yadlik eish, ki yadlik eish, ki seitzei, what does eish teitzei mean? The Gemara says later on, Babakam Chav Gimel, what does it say? Ki seitzei, what? Me'atzma mashma. The description of eish, hakosa b'teira, is it's happening by itself. It means, I didn't light a fire to burn down your house, I'm having a barbecue. I'm having a barbecue, it's a very controlled area. And all of a sudden, Kisei Tzeish Gevalt, it starts to get a little bit windier than I expected. All of a sudden, Kisei Tzeish, Shematza Kaisev Nechal Gadish, Nakom Azan Hashat. So, Al Zeh Ne'emar, Shalom Yishab Mavres Abeira. So, Rabbi Yechlan, at Gezach, the Grace of Chiddush, Rabbi Yechlan says, even though Kisei Tzeish Me'atzma Mashma, the person is not really, truly, physically, actively lighting the fire. So, why is it there called Ma'avir? Nishkin Ma'avir? What's the answer? That's the source for what? What does it say? Chav Gimel. I'm a rabbi. Kromas tisav aseli Rabbi Yechanan. Karad yichsev kisei tzeyesh be'atma mashba shalom yishama ma'abra kosav kama ma'abir. That does see shum shum chitzai. And for whatever reason, Reish Lakish didn't dash in that pasuk that way. Now, why didn't Reish Lakish dash that way? We don't know. We're in the dark about that. So Reish Lakish scrambled to try to figure out how Reish Lakish touched up the pasuk of ma'abir. But Reish Lakish, for whatever reason, denied that meaning of that pasuk. So Reish Lakish, therefore, by default, said, das is ma'amaynai. This is not all that different than my animal that went out. I didn't lie down. I wasn't brother of a mazik. I was an Eisha mazik. Eisha mazik is bishchai, mishum mishar, mishum amaynai. But if I take a fire and I actively light to your property, I said, what's the shayla? A father I'm considered to be chayev. I'm chayev, that's other mazik. So that's what the other Mishayim, Mishum Kabetas quotes, that Rashi wasn't bothered by any of Tosfos Kashas. The cases of Tosfos brings get sheyotza. What's a get? A get is I'm banging, I'm doing a maisa madlik. So that's called, that's not called kisei tzeish umatza kaitze. That's called adam amazik vamish. I'm banging, I'm throwing, I am actively throwing that nitzotz, that spark onto your property. That's an adam amazik. That's like shooting an arrow. Literally, not Rabbi Yechon shooting an arrow. That's mama shooting an arrow. How do I know that? Which great Rishon indicates that to me? How do you know? How do you know that there are Rishonim who for sure learn Pshat in Getz HaYetze as being other Mazik, not Bechlal Eish Mazik? How would you even test? You read a Mishnah, you want to know, is Getz Yotz Petach HaZapatkish, is that other Mazik or is that Mamun Mazik? How would you test that? Which great Rishon could you look? Who's the great organizer? The Rambam. You would look, where does the Rambam quote this din? Now, if you know the Rambam in Sefer Nezikin, you know that the first part of Sefer Nezikin is what? What are the five halachim in Sefer Nezikin? There's Hilchos Niske Mamun, which is Shor, Bor, Eish, right? And Hilchos Niske Mamun. Then there's Hilchos Genev, Hilchos Gezela. Then there's Hilchos Chevel Mazik, which is Adam HaMazik. It's its own category. Then you have Hilchos Ritzech. So, a good way to test whether a particular halacha is rooted in Hilchas Adam HaMazik, whether it's rooted in Hilchas Niske Mamun of Shor HaMazik or Manish HaMazik, is where did the Rambam place it? And what's the answer? Who knows? Where did the Rambam place the sugya of Getz? He put it in Chavul HaMazik. It doesn't even appear in Hilchas Niske Mamun. In Perek Yudal of Niske Mamun, where he talks about all the intricacies of Eish, it doesn't even make its appearance. So it's clear from the Rambam that this is the din of Adam HaMazik, which is probably Rashi Shita also. If a Rashi wasn't bothered with this Kashi Bechlal, didn't Tosfos realize this? Didn't Tosfos realize this is not really Eish, this is really Adam HaMazik? Why do you think Tosfos thought this was a raya against Rashi? Because this is not exactly, this is a tricky Adam HaMazik. This is not taking a baseball bat and smashing. This is what? This is almost like an indirect Adam HaMazik a little bit. What am I doing? It's not like if I would take a spark in my hand a torch, a flaming torch, onto your backyard and burn down your house. That's adam mazik mamish. That's not negotiable. That's not what I did. What did I do? What? I'm banging the hammer, and the banging of the hammer is now what? It's causing the spark to go flying. One could argue that al tzichus adam mazik, this may be closer to what? Shtickel grumla. It's a shtickel indirect. It's not an absolute. It's not like the guy who's taking a sledgehammer and smashing a car. I'm doing something that's opening up a system, that's starting a whole process, that's setting into motion an eventual hezek. I don't know whether that's called adam mazik or not. So I can hear both ways. So now we have a major machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, on Hadalim Shah, the mission of Getz. So Tosfos, who saw on the sugi of Getz, the Yetzer Tachas HaPatish, the spark that's flying out from the sledgehammer, as a raya that Eish doesn't have to belong to you, Tosfos is veering away from the parish of Adam and Mazik. He's learning this as part of a Chazdis Gemamun. If Tosfos wrote a Sefer Mishneh Torah, they would have stuck it into Chazdis Gemamun. Whereas Rashi wasn't bothered with this cash, and the Rambam Klor, who put it into Chazdis Mazik, clearly, those Rishonim are learning this is still closer to the Ma'al of Adam HaMazik, and it's not subject to the limitation, the whims of Eish. So we solved the first kasha. What about the second kasha? What was the second kasha? From Kofef Kamasuf Nedleka. What's the answer to that kasha? It's the same thing. That's an Adam HaMazik. You touch the thing. This is not like you're having a barbecue and then all of a sudden, you know, an hour later, all of a sudden, kiseitim e'atzma mashba. So Rashi held that when it's kiseitim e'atzma mashba, that was Rabbi Yesh Lach Shashit, it's got to be my money, it's got to belong to you. This is Adam HaMazik. You picked up the guy's stuff and you brought it closer to the source of the Yesh. That's Adam HaMazik b'yadayim. Adam HaMazik b'yadayim. There's no limitation of who owns the property. So didn't Tosfos realize that? What it does to bring such a shvacha raya? Didn't Tosfos realize that that's Adam HaMazik? What's the answer? It's also not exactly Adam HaMazik. Why is it? It's not a klor Adam HaMazik. Why? If I would take your grain and throw it into the fire, I'd say that's like taking a sledgehammer and smashing a car. But that's not what I did. What did I do? I took the grain and I moved it a few feet closer. And now the fire is going to come. Maybe that's Eish. That's not Adam HaMazik. I intentionally did it. I moved it. I touched it. I played with the chayfetz a little bit. But at the end of the day, I didn't really destroy it via daim, literally. Mapsh via daim. So maybe that falls short of being called Adam HaMazik. And that falls right back at the parish of Eish. And arrive from here that Eish doesn't have to belong to you. So I can hear this also both ways. So it's not clear. The third kasha that touches the S is not a kasha because it's not a source. It's just how you talk and you can burn down a guy's building. So what's the answer? Rashi said, you think you can't burn down a guy's building because that's Adam HaMazik Mamish. That's like a no-brainer. So when all the dust settles, Rashi will constantly respond. There's the sheet of quotes from Rishonim. Rashi would keep on deflecting all of Tosfos' kashas and saying, that's Adam HaMazik, this is Adam HaMazik, and the end of Adam HaMazik, and none of this is Eish. But Tosfos saw that all these cases, these potential Eish scenarios, saw in these sugyas, Raya's brewers, that they decide that Mamona is Lavdavka. So when you see this little two-line Tosfos of Gilam Abayz, oh, Mamona doesn't really matter, nobody really cares about Mamona. No, nobody cares, Rashi cared. Rashi cared very much. At least the Kasalat Aitach, maybe the Havamina Rashi cared. Tosfos Machtavech, based on three kashas. The three kashas, one can answer all the three kashas.
So according to what Rashi is saying, shouldn't that be called Mazik Yadayim? Shouldn't that be called Adam HaMazik?
You could argue that I didn't put the fire onto the Eved. So I put the fire onto the Gaddish, and then not, in a sense, not knowing the Gaddish is going to spread, the fire is going to spread to the Eved, so that may be a little bit Kisei Tzimehatsu Mashma.
But the whole Gaddish is going to be considered Adam HaMazik, according to Rashi.
No, maybe the Gaddish is Adam HaMazik, but maybe the Eved is not Adam HaMazik. Maybe.
According to our explanation for how Tosfos would understand Kofef Kamasa, right? Isn't the case a Ruach Metzuya? So you know it's going to come and it's going to catch fire.
Okay, but so but the question is that really, just because I know something's going to happen, that may not be the criteria for the Mamazik. It may mean a more direct Maisa. It's almost like the case of the Kachwish and Kachsheni.
I'm saying it. It's the equivalent of throwing it. Because you know it's going to fire.
Okay, so you know it gets very, very, very tricky, like we saw about the water. I know the water's going to kill the person, but if it's too far removed, whatever that means, too far removed, like the Kachwish and Kachsheni from the other day, that's not called an Adam HaRitzeach. So we have to fine tune some of these yesodas as we go on. Okay. So basically, so let's see. Can we bring any raias? So we have to test. We have to test in the lab. We got to go back to Shas, go back to Bava Kama, and try to figure out who's right. Rashi and Tosis. Are there any Gemaras that indicate one way or the other? Is it necessary or completely unnecessary to own the Eish? The Gemara in Daf Chav Beis, in discussing Rav Yechon Reish Lakish, the Gemara tries to bring Raya's back and forth. We spent a lot of time in Chav Beis with the Raya of Machler as a Sagadish, but even before that, the Gemara tried to bring a Raya in Chav Beis and Aleph, in the famous case of the Kelev, and that's actually why Rav Yechon Reish Lakish appeared here in the first place. Famous Mishnah on Daf Chav Aleph from Beis, Mishnah talks about a Kelev should not the Charara. So you have a dog, and the dog is searching around, it's a little bit hungry, and it sees there's a little barbecue going on, and toasting little pieces of wafers, little crackers or something on the fire. And the dog gets hungry, and he grabs one of those wafers. The problem is that the wafer has some sparks on it still. It's still burning a little bit. So, and the dog's walking around, goes to the next door neighbor, and eats the wafer. He's eating the toasted marshmallow, the toasted wafer, but in the process, what else does he do? He got a little bit too close to the grain, and those couple of little embers of the that was still a little glowing ended up burning down everybody's whole other guy's property. So who's chayev what, where, who, what? So ala charor mishal nezek sholim. So the Baal HaKelev has to pay nezek sholim for the eating of the biscuit. Why is that? What chiv is that? The chain. My dog walks into your backyard, spatzes into your barbecue, and eats your biscuits. That's my machine. Shame b'shus nezek. V'ala godish b'shalim chatzin nezek. But on the godish, so you only have to pay chatzin nezek. The Baal HaKelev only has to pay chatzin nezek for the godish. So the Gemara gets very, very nervous about that. Where, what, who, where did that requirement of chatzin nezek come from? So the Gemara tries to discuss this in the light of Rabbi Yechon Reish Lakish. Chabezim al, the Gemara says, if you hold that Isha is Mishim Chitzav, then Chitzav the Kelev. So then I understand that just as there's a concept of Chitzav, just as there's a concept of Chitzav of a person, so if I shoot an arrow, I'm Chayef to pay, and my fire is by shooting the arrow. So if my dog shoots an arrow, I also have to pay. So what are we going to pay Chatzin Nezek? What's the answer? What is that? It's an exugi. What is that? That's Tzoros. That's the special halacha. Maybe halacha Moshe Sinai. We'll talk about that a lot in the next sugi or two. But there's a pashas halacha Moshe Sinai that even though if an animal tramples directly and causes damage, the gufo, you pay nezik shalem. But if it causes damage derech Tzoros, Tzoros literally means pebbles. So it's my ox is walking in your backyard, and it doesn't trample on your property, but rather shoots up some stones, and those pebbles break something in your backyard. So that's it's regel, because it's walking normally. It's a regel b'shus nizak, so I'm going to be chayev. It's a special lach b'shus nizak, I only pay chatzin nizak. Why? That's koichai. Koich of a behema doesn't pay nizak shalem. Koich of a behema pays chatzin nizak. Tzroros is just the primary example. The halachic principle is kocho. The difference between gufo and kocho. Gufo of my behemoth pays nezek shalem. Kocho of my behemoth pays chatzin nezek. The prime example that appears in the Mishnah and the Gemara is always the case of the pebbles. That's what we always call tzroros. But tzroros is just an illustration of that principle. You can have a lot of different cases. Let's say if I have a very, very, very intelligent monkey. I own a very, very smart monkey. And it knows how to shoot an arrow. So my monkey goes in and it shoots an arrow. And that arrow goes and it damages somebody, rips through somebody's shirt. So I only have to pay what? Only have to chatzin nezek for that. So that's a normal thing that monkeys do, they shoot arrows. Okay, may not be the best example. So I'm only chai, that's worst that is going to be tzoros. So the Gemara says, when my animal lights a fire, if Rabbi Yechon is right, Nisha Mishum Chitza, that's like my animal shooting an arrow. So I'm going to be chai chatzin nezek, which is exactly what the Mishnah says. But according to Reish Lakish, the Gemara says the whole Mishnah doesn't make any sense. El Reish Lakish, the Gemara says, why am I chayv altogether? The Baal Kelev doesn't own the fire. So why am I chayv? Why is the Baal Kelev chayv? It's not his fire. My dog took the fire from somebody else. Reuven's having a barbecue. Shimon's dog comes, takes the burning piece of cake, and lights up Levi's property. So hi Eish, lava money, the Baal Kelev, why is the Baal Kelev chayv? Why isn't the Baal Eish chayv? So the Gemara's going to talk about that. Maybe the Baal Eish watched his, maybe it was all locked up, maybe it's his einus, whatever, the dog dug a hole underneath. Oh, chagaj, the Gemara has a chav gimel. Why the Baal Eish doesn't have to be held responsible? Well, we don't care about the Baal Eish. We want to know about the Baal Kelev. Anyone here has a dog? Anyone owns a dog here? Nobody owns a dog. The whole place, no. Yeah, no, okay. So, you're responsible for your dog. If your dog does damage, you're responsible. So if your dog goes ahead and burns down somebody else's house, so the Gemara says, according to Reish Lakish, it's not your problem, because the fire doesn't belong to you. So what's Taisa talking about? Taisa said, it's a milsa de pshita, Taisa gezocht daf gimel, they say, anachamol and daf chabez, that when it comes to the parish of Eish, it's a lo echpatli who owns the fire. The chlal doesn't interest me, who owns the fire. What's the Gemara asking? Kashi, I love money to Baal Kelev. What does that mean? What do the words mean according to Tosfos? It should be chayav anyway, so it's not money to Baal Kelev. Big deal. It's still chayav. So Rashi is standing and saying, right, that's exactly what I told you. The Tosfos who laughed at this, Tosfos says it can't be three shtaka kashas and of Gimel and of Chabez, that there is no requirement of owning the fire. What does the Gemara mean? I love money to Baal Kelev. So Tosfos has to do somersaults with of Chabez to address this kashas. So Tosfos says, Taisa says, "Lama de Baal Kelev, the Hu Lord Liko, v'al Eish shel Kalbo lechivaso Torah." The Gemara never meant to say that the fire doesn't belong to you and therefore you're potter. That wasn't really the kasha. That's a misleading kasha. It's an incorrect kasha. So the Gemara's kasha is that the parish of Eish was only given to people, wasn't given to animals. If I own an animal that lights a fire, I'm not chayv. That's the Gemara's kasha. Lama money the Baal Kelev, namely that the Baal Kelev didn't light the fire. If the Baal Kelev would have lit it himself, if he personally would have lit the fire, even though he stole somebody else's fire to do that, he would be chayav. Because Isha Mishra never meant to path you of the fire is not yours. Lama money the Baal Kelev meant that it's the Kelev that lit the fire, not the Baal Kelev. And a Kelev is not chayav in Eish. I'm not chayav in Eish that my animal lights. That's the Gemara's kasha. It's a whole other kasha. It's like a gamri different kasha. So Tosfos read that into the Gemara because they were so stuck. Because otherwise, it's absurd to say that you have to own fire to be chayav eish. So Tosfos just created a new chiddush. Mamash a chiddush yesh meayin, that the parish of eish was only given to people, wasn't given to animals. And even though I own the animal, I'm not responsible for the eish that my animal lights. So Tosfos says, is that true? Now we just learned we had to give this dochik pshat in the Gemara because we couldn't have given the simple pshat. So now we have to test, is that correct or not? So Taisa says, let's go, let's see. So Taisa says, we have a parallel din by a boar. Let's say my animal digs a bit. Right? A very common scenario. I own a dog. Dogs like to dig things, like to dig holes, look for bones, right? So they bury their bones. So my dog goes ahead in the middle of the street and digs a 10 tefachim deep pit. An animal falls in and dies. Could you take me to a din Torah? I didn't dig the pit. I mean, I've even known about the pit. Am I chayav? Because my dog dug a pit? So Taisus dug up, no pun intended, the line. Taisus dug up a Gemara. I didn't mean that one. Taisus dug up a Gemara that says, if you have a guy that bor, it's trich miut, ish bor velo shor bor, ki aminim ishor shnach hasapora. There's a Gemara later on from Ches that exerts a cost of ish bor velo shor bor. If my animal digs a pit, I'm taka not chayav. So now Taisus is in big trouble. Why? Because once you tell me that I need psukim to be memait, different kinds of hezeks that my animal does. Once you tell me that, it's not so poshut that if my animal digs a pit that I'm potter, I need a posik for it. Eish, I don't have such a posik. So the starting one, the baseline is, I'm chai my animals. It's my property. I have to make sure my animal doesn't gore, doesn't eat, doesn't trample, doesn't dig holes, doesn't light fires. Any and everything that I can do, I'm not allowed to trample, I'm not allowed to eat, I'm not allowed to gore, I'm not allowed to dig holes, I'm not allowed to fight. Anything that I do, the Torah is b'chai, that's the chesed of me. The parish of Pash Mishpat is Hilchas Niske Mammon is Chayev. Before Hilchas Niske Mammon came along, I would have thought Mazikin is Chayev L'Mazik. If you take a sledgehammer and break a guy's car, you have to pay. You break his arm, you have to pay. How do you know that if my animal eats your property, you have to pay? I wouldn't have said it. I never would have said it. Tosfos writes in Ksubas, the parshas, the Zikin, Mamish, all chidushim. They're not knas, like real Ein L'chabal chidusho, but they're dinya Torah. I wouldn't have figured it out on my own, Tosfos says. No human being would have figured out parshas and Zikin, because why am I responsible for my dog? Neicha Tosfos himself for my dog. But comes the Torah and says, I am responsible for my dog. So now the starting point becomes, I just change my baseline. Once it's Parshas Mishpatim, I'm responsible for my dogs eating and tramping and goring, I become responsible for my dogs digging and lighting as well. So now the Torah says, by the way, we're going to give you a freebie on this one. Ish bor v'lo shor bor. So comes to us and says, great, that's a freebie for bor. What about Eish? There's no freebie for Eish. There's no drasha for Eish. So now our pshat is stuck. Again, look how far Tosfos had to go. Tosfos is dealing with this kashka and Rish Lakish. We don't even pass like Rish Lakish, but the Gemara is shepherding on Rish Lakish, hitting Rish Lakish and saying, Rish Lakish, according to you, the Mishnah about the animal, about the dog, makes no sense. Why not? Ha'esh la mamonid today. So Rashi says, I'll tell you exactly what it means, exactly what I said. But Tosfos said it can't be. So Tosfos had a bend of a back, was giving a whole new shot that it's talking about, Hocha v'mayaskinon, that is a din called not chayev on the eish of my dog. So Tosfos says, really, what's the mokka for that? And don't tell me it's svar pshuta. It's not svar pshuta. Harai, it's not svar pshuta. You need a pasuk to be might ish bor v'lo shor bor. So Tosfos is really, really not what he has. So Tosfos says, look at this. Tosfos says, we come up on pashuk le'el gemara, mishim eizeh dirasha, the patra eish behem toy. What's up, Tosfos? That there's what? There must be a what? A phantom drasha. We checked the Mechilta, we checked the Bavlis and the Rishalmis. We don't find such a drasha. We don't know if such a drasha. It's got to be there somewhere in between the lines. The Chazal just never got around to telling us, never came up. So Chazal never told us. But says Tosfos, it's got to be there. Because if it's not there, if there's no such drasha, then guess what? Then Agamar and Chabez makes no sense. Because Rashi's pshat is clearly not the correct pshat. Three kashas, bomb kashas. We didn't think of such a bomb. But Tosfos thought there were bomb kasha. So Rashi rejected out, right? So now Tosfos is doing their subassaults on the Gemara's kasha, revamped the Gemara's kasha, and said there must be some drasha somewhere in between the lines. You know, look at Tosfos. I can't get Machabek Tosfos, but you see a Tosfos like this, you got to get nervous a little bit. So the Rashba got very, very nervous. Very, very nervous about this Tosfos. The Rashi says, we're usually not in the business of saying there are phantom drasha somewhere that we missed. The Rashba says, Mamish big percent Tosfos. The same mahalach. The Rashba also thought Rashi was not right. The Rashba also thought the Gemara meant the way Tosfos said. But then the Tosfos got stuck with the Ishbor of Loshor. But what did the Rashba say? And what's the Rashba? He put on the Mamakermis. I didn't put on the Mamakermis. Oh, that's what nobody saw. No, but you should have seen the Rashba. It should have been on the Mamakermis. What's the answer? It's not a new Gzeres HaKasav, a phantom Gzeres HaKasav Be'esh. You know what the Gzeres HaKasav is? It's there already, because I already told it to you. You know what it is? Ish bor v'lo shor bor. You know what Ish bor v'lo shor bor tells me? That ein l'cha ela den mazikin haksuv ha'tayra. The Torah speaks about three scenarios of shor ha'mazik. The Torah speaks about keren. How do you know that? Ki what? Kiyiga. Torah speaks about regal. How do you know that? Mishila. Torah speaks about Shane. How do you know that? Good. Everyone got 100 mechin. Okay, good. That's all you have to know. The first daf from Bava Kamma. So the regival of us namu b'shor. I would have thought ken zayin efshar. There are more. I would have thought to put together package. It would make a chulin that a shor is chayav if it eats, if it gores, if it walks. And there is a parasha born in the Torah. And there is a parasha mesh in the Torah. Ooh, let's put two and two together. If my shore digs a hole, what's the din? If my shore lights a fire, what's the din? So the svar rishon would have been maybe yichayev, kamash balon, ish bor v'lo shor bor. What? Don't do the math. Don't start making shulins over here. But stay to the Torah yichayev for shilach ubiyak kigach at kan v'lo yaser. Don't make a story and tell me I'm chayev a bor. He's his bor. He had his bor. The dog's bor. What's the dog digging a bor? Me digging a bor. Dog lighting a fire. No, Kamash Malon Zuk Rashba, Ish Bor V'lo Shor Bor, Ein L'Chaboy Ela Gimel Avos B'Lvad. And therefore, we can now figure out on our own. We can extrapolate from Bor to Eish. If there's no Chia for the hole that my dog makes, then there's no Chia for the fire that my dog lights either. And that's what the Gemara's Kasha was. So the Rashba and Tosfos are the same team. It's just that whereas Tosfos thought there's got to be some new drusha somewhere out there, and Tosfos was more willing to throw the hands up and say, we don't know what the drush is, but it's there, Amunas Chacham, it's there somewhere. The Rash says, sorry, if there's no drusha on record, we're not going to make one up, but we're going to go back to the drushas that we do know and extrapolate them and understand them properly. So you have now, in the Kudus of Machloikis, Tosfos and the Rashba, what's the nature of this din of Ish Bor V'lo Shor Bor? According to Tosfos, it's a very, very limited in scope. It's almost like a Gzeres HaKos V'n Hilchus Wa. It's like a Gzeres HaKos V'n Hilchus Bor. It's a Gzeres HaKos, it's a lift in Hilchus Bor that, there are a lot of Gzeres HaKos V'n Hilchus Bor. Bor V'lo Kalim, Bor V'lo Adam, Bor L'Bai P'shul Ebuk Dosh. I give you one, 20 lists of Turim, 3, 4. A few details in Hilchus Bor. This is one of the details that govern the parameters of Hilchus Bor, Ish Bor V'lo Shor Bor. It has zero application outside of Hilchus Bor. So Tosfos learned this exists because of Likdin Hilchus Bor, not to be extrapolated outside. Whereas the Rash Pasua, no, this is not a din of Hilchus Bor. What's it a din in? In Hilchus what? Ish Bor V'lo Shor Bor. Not Shor Bor. That exists because of Shor Bor. That was not a din of Hilchus Bor. It's a din of Hilchus what? Hilchus Bor. It's a din of Hilchus what? Hilchus Shor. Namely, the Torah is limiting the obligation on your shore. The Torah is saying you're not as chayv on the shore as you would have thought. You would have thought, sure, it's chayv, everything and everything under the sun. No, kamash b'lan, no, not everything. Only very, very limited things. Not bor, and for that matter, not what? Not eish either. Because there's no difference. Once you learn that the lumdus and the gzeres hakos of ish bor v'lo shor bor is licked in hukh shor, it's a mir in hukh shor, not a mir in hukh bor, then you have no qualms extending that back to eish as well. So we have machloikis tais in the Rashba as to what the source for this din is that I'm not chayef for fires of my animal. Everyone agrees it's got to be true, because otherwise tells us there's no other way to read this Gemara. Rashi's trap was rejected. But what the source is, Tosfos thought you need an independent source. Rashba thought we already have one who could extrapolate. So machloikis, we were machloikis showing him how to make sense of this Gemara in Chabez. What was pshat in this kasha? Rashi learned a simple pshat with all his problems. And the Rashba, each one had a dim shot, but there's a further break that was the Rashba. What the basis of that shot was all about. Okay, so everyone says Gemara Daf Chabez. Let's figure it out. Rashi tells the Rashba, right? And all the pieces of the puzzle. Okay. So far, so good. So we're still back to square one. We're still trying to figure out, is there a din that Eish has to belong to you? So Rashi says, yeah, there is such a din. At least there haven't been such a din. According to Rashi, there's such a din. And Tosfos says, never was. And Hayud Varmila.
Hey, so you say, right, you just did that whole thing for Tosfos. At the end of the day, how do you read Gemara, though? The Gemara still says you're chayv.
The Gemara is the Kasha. The Gemara says, according to Reish Lakish, how do you make sense of this Mishnah? The Gemara gives a whole other kimdin, the Mishnah. With a whole other story. The whole brand new story. But the way the Mishnah appears that the animal just dropped the thing in
it.
No, no, Tosfos holds your Mash Potter, and then you have to reread the whole Mishnah. So Rabbi Sai, we've been giving Shia for 55 minutes already today, discussing a nuance of a quirk within Shitas Reish Lakish. And probably some of you are wondering, I mean, come on, we hold the Rav Yochanan, you know, a whole Sunday, we came to Shia for Sunday just for, it's worth it to come to Shia just to hear Reish Lakish, you know. I don't need to come to Shia, to come to be Spanish, learn Torah, even on a Sunday, you know, Reish Lakish, Hail, Hail, Dilek, Imchayim, Mamish, the Torah from to me, even the words of Reish Lakish, Hail, Gehail, Hail, Kim Torah. But more than that, everybody says, we're not so convinced that our discussion is only the world of Reish Lakish, because quite frankly, we're not so sure how far apart the worlds of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are. Up until now, we thought Rabbi Yechiron had one total and complete view of Hilchus Eish that didn't touch Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yechiron's looking at Eish with the eyes of shooting arrows. Reish Lakish is looking at Eish with the eyes of animals, through a mina, and neither the two shall afraid go. The two shall meet, let it go. Need not, something or other, some kind of whatever it is, okay. Something from Dickens or something, whatever it is, okay. You get the basic picture, okay. Whatever it's from. Okay. My physics is better than my literature. Okay. So Rabbi Sai, we thought the worlds of Rabbi Yechiron and Reish Lakish are very, very different until we opened up a Gemara in Daf Gimel and Aleph. The Gemara of Gimel and Aleph, that should have been the Mamre Kermes? Good. Okay. The Gemara comes from left field. If we're elaborating for Daf and a half about Rabbi Yechiron and Reish Lakish, the Gemara throws a curveball at Rabbi Yechiron. Daf Gimel and Aleph, more Rava. Rav is retelling what his older, Abaye was older Rav a little bit. He's recounting what his older colleague Abaye used to ask his kasha. Kasha le Abaye. Abaye have the following kasha. The man diyal yishim b'shem chisav. Koen tu yeichinen. Pidlu mi paskalankim. Yishim b'shem chisav. Tomun be'esh te potach mona heichim shachas lo. Everybody knows that there's a proof of Tamun Be'esh. What's Tamun Be'esh? I light a fire, my barbecue goes and burns down your field and all your crops. And inside the crops, somewhere tucked away, you had hidden, you stashed away $1,000. And those $1,000 bill goes up in flames. And you have Adim to substantiate your claim. The Adim say, we know, we saw the bills burning. We couldn't do anything about it. We saw it, we know. That's what happened. Comes the Torah Kedosh and say, Shali Mishan Ravis Abeira, I have to pay for the crops. I do not have to pay for the cash. Why do I have to pay for the cash? The cash, or anything else for that matter, is what's called Tamun Be'esh. And Tamun Be'esh a Torah Patrasai. Vishtait? The Torah already said, my fire went out by itself, it went flying, my barbecue went out of control. It ate up all your crops, it ate up all your sheaves of grain. What is the kama? What's the kama? Kama means those grain that's standing up straight, like kama. It's like grain that's standing up. Front of public display. Oh, come on. So what's the Torah say that for? When you try to tell me that the grain is standing up, it's the difference, the grain is laying down, standing up. What's that comma? Mar says the phrase that comma has a certain connotation to it. Makama begolui, afko begolui, lafuke tamun. From the fact that the Rebbeinu Shlom gave this extra example, seemingly superfluous example, this is to teach me this din, that the chiv eish, and God this year, and comma yeah, about tamunisht. And Tamim Be'esh is Pater Rechamana. So comes the Bai and says, if you hold like Reish Lakish, I got the Ptur of Tamim. I don't have any questions with the Ptur of Tamim. But if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, Tamim Be'esh Heichem Mishkachasla. What kind of Ptur is that Tamim Be'esh? What's the case? Well, give me a case. Be Tamim Be'esh. If you hold the Yishev Shem Chitzav, that's a stira gluyat Tamim Be'esh. And because of this kasha, the Gemara is going to turn around the gamri, the whole sugya on its head. And I have a major machlokes that we showed him what the turnaround was. Because Rashi and the Rambam, what did the Gemara finally answer to that kasha? And the answer to that kasha is going to significantly impact the relationship between Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish. Because when all the kasha is over and all the dust settles and the two dots finally appear in the chagim, the Gemara moves on to the next sugya. The Gemara took Rabbi Yechon and knocked it down. Perhaps one notch, or perhaps many, many notches, depending on how you think the Gemara's answer was. Something is about to radically change within the worldview of Rabbi Yochanan that's going to bring Rabbi Yochanan much closer to Reish Lakish than we thought he was. Until we got to Chav Gimel Manaf, we thought Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish had nothing to do with each other. They were brothers-in-law, Rebbe and Talmud, but they did not see eye to eye on Eish. And eventually the Gemara is going to make it that Rabbi Yochanan's version of Eish is not all that different than Reish Lakish than we thought it was. And that's going to seriously impact in everything we're talking about. What the engine that's driving that reformulation, that chiddush, that new way of looking at Rabbi Yechon's word, was this bomb kash of Abaye, kash of Abaye, tam be'ei sheikh mishkach asla. The chiddush is called the heilige Abaye, and Rava, who's presenting this kash for us in this medrash, does anyone understand this kash? Tam be'ei sheikh mishkach asla, gewalt, kapha to be such a p'tur. Now, if you tell me that Abaye is saying it's not fair, that's a silly kasha. Not only is it a silly kasha, but then the kasha should have equally been true to who? To Reish Lakish also. We don't find Abaye asking, boy, Kalim, the Pater Chmanei, it's not fair. Life is not fair. It's one of the first things you learn as you get old. Not everything is fair. The Torah Kedosh, that's the din. Maybe you're chayiv in din Shemayim, maybe you are, maybe not. Yesterday, Baruch Ber, I don't know, we could discuss. But at the end of the day, there's a tour of Tamim Be'esh, and we'll accept it. We accept Paraduma, we can accept Tamim Be'esh. So what was bothering Abaye? Kashle Abaye, Tamim Be'esh. We don't understand what the problem was, and to make the matters even worse, we don't understand whatever that problem was, why the problem only presented itself in the worldview of Rabbi Yochanan. If it wasn't the problem, he shouldn't have been asked the kash in the first place. If it was a problem, the question should be equally true for Reish Lakish. What does that kash have anything impacted by the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? So that's a major, major piece of this puzzle. Because we cannot even understand the reformulation of Reish Lakish's Eish, of Rabbi Yochanan's Eish, until we understand what forced the reformulation in the first place. Hopefully, that's from tomorrow. We're going to go back to this line, the Gemara, and try to analyze through the different opinions in Rishonim just what that kasha was, and then see what the teretz was, and then when all the dust settles, when the sugya ends, to see so tackle what did Rabbi Yochanan think about Rish Lakish Zeish, and how that's going to go back and spill over to all the things we've been talking about until now. Hashem, tomorrow we'll look at.